Welcome to Fundraising Leadership Podcast. This is episode 59, and I'm Margaret Katz-Kahn.
And I'm Janice Cunning. And Margaret, we're excited today to have Megan Trigueno join us, who is a fellow Torontonian, I'll say. You live just outside the city and work in the city, Megan, and we've known each other for a few years. And I think we've been talking about having you write a blog post and do a podcast for us for a while. So we're excited to have you join us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit, because we have people listening all over the world, so they might not know much about where you work, which is CAMH Foundation here in Toronto, where you're the Vice President of Philanthropy. So tell us about what CAMH is and what your role is there.
Sure. Thank you, Janice. So I have the great privilege of leading a philanthropy team in the foundation, which is individuals who work with the community to help raise funding for the hospital, so for the mission of CAMH. So CAMH stands for the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. We're the largest mental health hospital in Canada and a leading academic health sciences organization for the country and the world. So CAMH supports patients locally in Toronto as well as through virtual care and services again across the country. Its expertise lies in mental health research serving people certainly across the, as I say, locally, but through research and discovery in brain science. So some of the biggest challenges and problems that we're seeing today and the impacts of mental health, our organization is tackling those challenges through research and clinical care.
Yeah, great, great. And I know you've been on the forefront. You know, we're still, we're in June 2020, so we're still mm-hmm. really in the midst of COVID, and your organization has done some incredible work and will continue to do some incredible work supporting our healthcare providers during.
Thank you. That's right. And that's certainly one of the areas of our organization that I'm personally very passionate about is the role that CAMH plays in systemic change across healthcare. So not only are we a hospital, but have a policy mandate. So affecting policy change at all three levels of government. And in the COVID context, how we've been able to help our frontline healthcare heroes in providing mental health services virtually to people across the system, not just within our organization. So certainly that expertise and system scaling is a really an area that's very exciting to me and certainly why people choose to support CAMH in such special ways.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about a few things today. You know, we'll get into some healthcare fundraising, and we also want to talk about this idea of playing the infinite game, which you wrote mm-hmm. a great blog post. And I do want to give a little shout out to our mutual friend Megan Paul Nazareth, and yes. who's been a guest before. And if people want to listen, go back and listen on episode 41. We had Paul talking about playing the long game, and Paul's been bugging you for a while to do more writing and share your wisdom. And so this is sort of an homage and extension of what Paul shared with us back then on episode 41. So let's talk about, for those who don't know yet, like, what is an infinite game and why is it important to fundraisers?
Thank you, Janice. Well, I think the irony is quite interesting of how you and I met, again, through relationships across the sector. And to your point, Paul Nazareth, a mutual friend, it all comes back to me to relationships and how we lead across our work and how we deepen our work with impact. So this concept of the infinite game has really been a philosophy that has helped to guide my career and decision-making across my career. I think most recently people may have heard the concept of the infinite game and finite games through Simon Sinek, a popular author and coach who really gave voice to this philosophy in his book called The Infinite Game. And for those that may not be aware of what that means, but it actually dates back to the late 1980s, where there was an American philosopher, James Carse, who actually introduced the concept of two different games. There's a finite game and an infinite game. So finite games have a winner and a loser. And infinite games have no finish line. The goal is to keep the game going as long as possible. And for me, it's really been an interesting tenet that I have looked to for inspiration across my career, that what we do is not transactional. It's not about one gift and reaching just a goal, but relationships are at the heart of what we do. So building and evolving relationships over time gifts are one element of that relationship that we're so fortunate to be able to create between an organization and a person, and connecting donors to multiple leaders and individuals across an organization. It's not just the individual relationship with a quote-unquote fundraiser. It's how you can inspire someone to connect to the mission of your organization. We're just a conduit to that. So that mindset of the relationship that you build is for a lifelong relationship with the organization. It's not just about a winner and a loser, point A and point B of asking for a gift comes in and that's it. It's helping to, it opens your mindset in a very different way that I think it actually becomes much less about you and more, so much more about donor and their experience with your organization. So it's, for me, it's a mindset and how we can help inspire and build our teams and that mindset of playing the infinite game. And then I think it relates well to your career and choices that you make across your career and knowing that relationships play such a critical role in what we do. So if people choose to join an organization for a period of time, your relationships quite often continue across your life or different chapters throughout your life. It's not that the transactional approach of maybe donors only giving to one organization, but it's not just donors, it's your relationship with peers, sector leaders, volunteers. How do those connections all create that larger web? So again, it's that infinite approach to your career and the work that you do.
Yeah, Megan, I'm inspired by your talking about your donors and these long-term relationships. And I'm sort of curious, when it's going well, when you are sort of in that infinite game, what are some of the things that get activated in your donors that you get to witness?
Well, I think what we are so privileged to see is that insight of how families make decisions. What are their values as people, as a family, or whether it's a corporation, what do they care about? We get a very different insight versus looking at it as we're after something like a gift. It's not about just the one thing, but we get exposed to the full picture, someone's full story and what their motivations are in the long terms and not just that one experience. So our goal ultimately in fundraising is to build lifelong relationships. So gifts are one way to do that, but they build off of each other. So a person may decide to make a commitment or a gift in one area to be part of a solution to a problem, let's say in healthcare, a challenge. But then once they're inside an organization and connected to a mission, it's our job to introduce them to different leaders and relationships across the organization to really give an inside view to the entire mission and all the things that are happening across the organization. So it's really some of the things that we learn along the way are motivations, but what inspires people. And that's what gives us inspiration and so meaningful. And that's what really fuels my energy and commitment. And what I like to inspire across my teams is these relationships are where we're learning from donors as to what inspires them. But it also helps us to know what different areas we'd like to introduce people to and then connect them with across the organization.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that I think is really interesting about your career, Megan, is you have dedicated your career really to healthcare philanthropy for at least the, you know, the last little part of it. You spent a lot of time at Women's College Hospital before you went to CAMH. And you have, you know, you have family connections to the healthcare movement. So what do you find is, distinctive and interesting and unique about the relationships that you get to build with people in the healthcare sector?
Mm-hmm. I think I had shared one of my inspirations my call to action really to join the healthcare philanthropy space. Janice is my mother, who's a nurse. And so I grew up in this environment seeing my mother care for patients and build teams. And again, it's not just the one patient, right? Just like in the work that we do on the fundraising side is that infinite approach of you're helping multiple people over time, generations, decades pass. It's that culmination of work that really represents who you are. And so that has been a very similar parallel. And what drew me to healthcare philanthropy was much like patients and who we serve and impact, the relationships you build with your hospital partners, so the clinicians, the researchers, physicians, those relationships are a breath of fresh air. That's what fuels us as fundraising teams and partners to the hospital. We are partners in every sense of the word. So just like we build relationships with donors to inspire them about the work that we do, we have to build those meaningful relationships with our hospital peers. And so those relationships are as equal, if not sometimes even more important, to build those partnerships, because we have to be able to tell the story together about the mission of the organization. And that means understanding not just the academic role or the clinical role that person plays, but who they are as a person. They're a parent, they're a caregiver. What is their story? How can I connect with them so that the relationship that we have is meaningful to them as well and rewarding to them? And what we get to do is we get to help build that culture for philanthropy with our hospital partners. Mm. So they're part of that narrative. We cannot do it alone. And I think that team approach is what it has interested me so much across my career, and what has just continues to deepen my love for this work is those relationships that we have the fortune to be able to build and learn about each other.
Megan, you've talked a little bit about learning from donors. Can you mm-hmm. share an example or a fun story or something that's a time you really learned something important from sure. a relationship? I guess it doesn't have to be a donor or volunteer.
Sure. I think, what's been important to me, a tenet that I've looked to across my careers, is having a growth mindset. We always have to be learning regardless of our age, stage, roles, and titles. We always have to be learning new things. So one of my favorite things to say to my teams and when we're learning is to be in front of a donor, across the table from a donor in their home. That's the best place to learn about what we do. How can we go into these conversations with a question of, you know, what can I learn from this individual? So donors are they help to guide us in how we build out our plans and ways that we need to engage with donors moving forward. They give us those insights. So I think some of my favorite examples have been working with families and how fast we're seeing things change when it comes to intergenerational giving. So I had the great fortune to work with one family in particular before I left my my time at Women's College. With one family, an individual had made a gift online late in the evening to a program area that had impacted his wife's care. And we met with this individual the next day, and he brought his children to the table. So multiple generations to have a conversation about how they wanted to support the organization. So that conversation started very personally with an area in the hospital and cardiology that their family had been impacted by. But once we had the opportunity to talk about what they wanted to achieve, what their family's legacy is, how they want to be remembered, this really helped give really good insight to us into what this family wants to accomplish and what they want to be part of. So really important learnings for us as fundraising leaders to be directed by what individuals are motivated by, and then to be able to introduce them to different areas of the organization that will actually help accomplish what they want to accomplish. So that family after a number of months decided to make their first $1 million gift, the largest gift they've ever made as a family, to support a number of different areas across the organization because of what they learned, because of who we introduced them to across the organization. And it's not just the amount that matters, it's the decision that family made together, their why, and to be privileged to see that literally in front of your eyes, see a family come together and play a role in that is such a deeply impactful experience, and to have those relationships with families and those insights, it's quite an extraordinary thing to witness, and to see the role that the mission of your organization, again, it's not about what we have done, it's what we've done to introduce them to the mission and how that mission has now become part of their own family mission.
And it's not surprising to me, Megan, because I know also for you, it's like not only the legacy of your mom, but you know, you love getting your family involved. You love volunteering, you know, and mm-hmm. really bringing your full self to every role that you have. And so that, you know, that is a beautiful legacy, right? To think as a fundraiser, like how can I bring my whole self to the mm-hmm. job that I do? And for you and many people, that also includes their family.
You know, that's a great point, Janice. I think when I became a mom, I have two boys, 6 and 4. When I became a mom, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to go as full throttle as I am in my career. Things are going to change. I'm still quite young in my career for the level of roles that I had at the time. And I did fear certainly that I would be judged, knowing that I also come from a place of privilege as a white woman, educated. I felt fear of sharing that I have young kids, or is this going to now give people insight into how old I am? But what I, again, coming back to that concept of infinite game and constantly curious in my career, I realized this is actually a big benefit to me. Me becoming a mother, I'm obviously growing as an individual, but the insights that I gain, and now how can I relate to others with families from an intergenerational perspective? Again, I can use that personal experience to connect with other people. It really helped me to see I don't need to distinguish myself as a mother, myself as a leader, myself as a peer, as a partner in the workplace. But this is who I am, and this mm-hmm. helped me bring my full self as an individual to work. And what I constantly hope to inspire across my peers and colleagues is to be bringing our full selves to work, that we're not two different people. But that, again, helped me to really bring perspective and insights into the family relationships that we build through our work in philanthropy.
Yeah. And I think that's been one of the gifts of this time is, you know, like everybody's, like most people in the fundraising world are working from home. You know, we've had some sort of community events where some guys I know are like, I'm coming, but I, you know, I'm literally feeding my kids lunch while I'm, you know, on this call with you. And that's just the way it is. Right. And it's delightful to, you know, hopefully that will continue, right? It feels like we've all had a window into the complexity of some people's lives that we may not have got to see before as directly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So,
well, yeah. I'm glad you see some of the silver linings too, Janice. Yeah. Janice, I think that I certainly try to be a very optimistic person and seeing the silver linings in this context, but it's been very hard. At the same time of, you know, saying that it's now we can see a window into people's lives and world, there's also the other complexity and challenge of some individuals not maybe wanting to share that, or they're not in a capacity to be able to mm-hmm. do that. So I think that's empathy is what I take away from all of that is understanding the complexities of everybody's situations. And then working together as a team to support each other, because it's not just up to me as a leader of a team, but my approach to leadership is I believe everybody leads from where they are, regardless of title. So how can we lean in and support each other during times like this, and certainly unique circumstances of caregiving obligations and the isolation that individuals feel who are living alone mm-hmm. as well. On the other side, everybody is in certainly where I think we're all in the same. Same storm, but different boat mm-hmm. is how I would describe it.
Yes.
Do you have something that you would offer people like yourself, your peers out there who you haven't met, who are leading fundraising teams through some super challenging times, challenging economically, challenging logistically, mm-hmm. but for the morale, what's worked for you that you could share?
Good question. I think I actually just had a conversation with one of our writers this morning. We're working on something together, and we were, I think, just commiserating and also supporting each other a bit of our mindsets have had to change to be more short-term. Looking at daily goals, looking at weekly goals, that's been more practical for me personally. Again, it's unique to everybody, but for someone who is typically quite a planner and long-term thinker and planner, I've had to just completely change that approach and set daily goals. So for me, for my own mental health and wellness, exercise plays a really big role for me. And I have to purposely build that in every day, whether that is a 10-minute walk, whether it's doing a workout video in the morning, I have to build in that time purposely so that I know that I can be my best self for the rest of the day. So I'd say those micro goals are more important than ever, and they look different to everybody, but just being intentional about them. Sitting outside or going for a walking meeting versus a sitting at your desk meeting, just changing your environment. Those small things can make a big difference in your day. So those are some of the things that we've talked about as a team, and those have been helpful tools through this very uncharted territory.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, for sure. And, yeah. You know, I think it's a time of self-compassion, you know, and I love what you're saying there. It's like, yeah, like let's try to focus as much as we can on the impact we are having. Think about what we can do, you know, to help ourselves and other people, you know, through this.
Yeah. And yeah. I think there, Janice, it's what can we control versus what we can't control. And that's more important than ever now. Is focusing on what we can control. And for us, we're so privileged to work in a purpose sector where we know we're making tangible impact. It doesn't mean our work is hard or not stressful for our own individual circumstances, but to know that the mission that we're serving is changing lives and people are counting on us every minute and every day, although it's a heavy burden sometimes it feels like, to know you're contributing to that and seeing the optimism in that is really important.
Yeah, nice. So let's, Megan, we'd love to give our listeners something tangible that they can try to, you know, to bring this to life, having listened to this conversation. What would you ask everyone to do?
I think back to what we, how we started and talking about the infinite game, one of the ways that I like to help do this and contribute to that mindset is looking for places to learn. You're constantly looking for places to learn, and this is through people, the people that we work with. So I would challenge people to think about maybe the next 3 meetings or conversations you're going into, go in with the question, what can I learn from this person? And it's not just about what can I learn from this person to advance my work. It's what can I learn from this person to advance my own personal development? What insights am I going to learn from them that can then shape my thinking or perspective or strategies for other people? So go in with that intention and reflect on it afterwards and think about how that's helped you grow as an individual or better your understanding or perspective on something. That's been a helpful tool for me.
Yeah. Great. Well, Megan, thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing. That's really outstanding counsel, I think. For those of you who are listening, please subscribe to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. We are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And now take Megan's great advice and go put it into practice. Curiosity.